says in Psalm 122, I was glad when they said to me, let's go up to the house of the Lord. And so it doesn't matter what our work, what our week looked like. What matters is we are gathered here today to worship God. And I'm grateful for that, the opportunity to do that. I'm also grateful that the snow is going to melt and go away. Going with that, Nicholas Smith, this is just a story, and I have him convinced that I have crocodiles in my closet in my office. And he'll come in and he'll go, don't want to wake up the crocodiles. So anyway, saying that, the card from him said, will the crocodiles eat up the snow? Little kids, I love little kids, don't you? Stand with me, we're going to read from John chapter 16, beginning in verse 4. John chapter 16, verse 4 says this, but I've said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would have his will and his way in our hearts and in this service this morning. Lord, I thank you for who you are, for what you've done, what you are doing, and what you will continue to do in our lives. Lord, I pray that as we open your word today, that it will speak to our hearts. And I pray that it speaks to our hearts, it'll plant seed deep inside. The seed will grow and produce fruit. And may we leave this place today more willing to allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us as we live each day for your glory. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Sermon title today might be just a little bit off because we're going to talk about more than just being guided by the Spirit. Sometimes I think that the Holy Spirit is the most neglected of the Trinity. We talk about the Father, we talk about the Son, but we don't emphasize as much the Holy Spirit. So let me just ask the question, who is the Holy Spirit? Isn't that a legitimate question? The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The first mention of the Holy Spirit is in Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The first reference to the Trinity in Scripture is Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Trinity, three in one. One God, three separate, distinct personalities, each with his own ministry. There are a group of people who come knocking on your doors every once in a while. They're called the Jehovah's Witnesses, and they will tell you the Holy Spirit is not God. It is just God's immovable force. Can I tell you this? The Holy Spirit is not an immovable force. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit as a person. John chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, what? He will bear witness of me. John chapter 16, verse 8. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Those are personal pronouns, aren't they? Used of a specific person with a specific personality. The Holy Spirit has a mind. I'm not going to read all these scriptures today. You write them down, and every once in a while, we need to study once in a while too, don't we? So the Holy Spirit has a mind, Romans 8, 27. The Holy Spirit has a will, 1 Corinthians 2, 4 through 11. And the Holy Spirit has emotional feelings, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. I know you wrote all those down, right? If you didn't, there should be a pencil right ahead of you in the pew pockets. There should be something to write on. So we don't want to be spoon-fed as Christians. Aren't we supposed to study the Scripture to see what God has there for us? And so I'm challenging you this morning to study the Scripture to see what it says. Because the Holy Spirit is a person, and because the Holy Spirit is God, that means that each believer has God indwelling him or her. Every believer has the indwelling Holy Spirit in us. If we don't have the Spirit, what's the obvious answer? We are not believers. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." Have you ever doubted your salvation? Has anybody in here really, I mean, look at me. Have you ever doubted your salvation? And when you went to God and prayed and you asked him about that, the Holy Spirit speaks to us. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are his child. Trinity. It is an amazing thing, the Trinity. I've told you before that when I was in school in a New Testament class, the professor said that no one can truly define the Trinity. And then he asked on the last question of the exam, define the Trinity. But you know, over the years, I've come to this conclusion, we can define the Trinity because the Bible defines the Trinity. And if the Bible defines the Trinity, shouldn't we also be able to do that? How important is it for us to know what the Bible teaches? Isn't it absolutely imperative that we know what the Bible teaches? People are going to challenge our faith all the time. Someone once said, "You Christians are just a bunch of ignorant people." Listen, that's what the world thinks. That we follow a non-existent God. That we pray to the air. And that we are a bunch of ignorant people. We need to know what we believe so that we can defend our faith. We need to be always willing to give a defense of the hope that is within us. We are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I will tell you this morning that I believe that without the Holy Spirit, we would not be able to serve or worship God. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no desire in us to do anything with God, to seek Him, to pray to Him, to worship Him. Without the Holy Spirit, we are as lost as we can be. Galatians chapter 5, 16 says we are to walk in the Spirit. But I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Do you all believe that? I mean, really, do you believe that? If we walk in the Spirit, we'll not gratify, we'll not carry out the desires of the flesh? Then maybe, just maybe, when we get out of bed in the morning, we ought to start asking God to fill us with your Spirit, to give us wisdom, to walk in the Spirit, and not yield to the temptations and desires that are going to confront us every single day. We need to worship in the Spirit. Philippians 3:3 says, who worships by the Spirit of God and glories in Christ Jesus, talking about believers. We also need to witness in the Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. By the way, you might be my witnesses. Is that what that word says? You could be my witnesses if you wanted to. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You know, you don't have to travel to Madagascar to talk to people about Jesus. All you need to do is go next door or go across the street or share it with somebody at work. You need to be a witness. I need to be a witness. And we can only witness in the power of the Holy Spirit. You ever been talking to somebody about God and all of a sudden you run out of words? You don't know what to say next? I can tell you this, the Holy Spirit gives us words. The Holy Spirit speaks from God's heart for us. John chapter 15. We're going to be moving back and forth between these two chapters and other places. John chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you're of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. I want to define what the word world stands for today. Trust me, we're going to get to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But I just want to do some some prefacing. The world can be defined this way as the world system. The world that hates and denies God. The system that we find in place now, where there is no unity, but only division. Where there is no genuine love, just hatred. The world system wants nothing to do with God. One of the other things that the Scripture refers to as the world is found in John chapter 1. In verse 3 of chapter 1, it says, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Talking about the creation. We talk about the world, we define it as creation. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. Something else that is defined by the word world is all humanity. All humanity is defined by world. For God so loved what? The world, that he gave his one and only, his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Y'all believe that today? That's the word of God to us. That's the promise of God to each one of us. Whoever believes in him, every human being has that opportunity to place their faith in Christ. And I'm not so foolish as to believe that in church on Sunday morning that everybody in this room has placed their faith in Christ. But I do know that God is here and that God offers salvation to those who will believe. The wages of sin is death, but what? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm grateful for that gift of life. I'm grateful that he hasn't given up on me. 1 John chapter 2, and this is sometimes where I think we may find the church occasionally. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. And we are warned, we are cautioned. Do not love the world or the things in the world. Do not love the world system. If anyone loves the world, what's it say next? The love of the Father is not in him. You can't have divided loyalties. You either love the world or you love the Father. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. One translation says lusts. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Don't love the world. All that's in the world, the desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes and the pride of life. In this world, we are torn, aren't we? We're torn between what we know is right and what we know is wrong. We sometimes, would you say that we're greedy sometimes? Would you say that believers can be greedy? Did somebody say no? Just asking. Sarcastically, okay, John. You've been talking to my wife. Okay, where? No. We get caught off track, or we get pulled off track by seeing things that we want, not things that we need. Are we to ask God to supply our needs or our wants? Don't get caught up in the system that you have to keep up with the Joneses, that you have to buy a new car because they bought a new car, or that you have to have a bigger and better house. You know the house, that big white house with a picket fence and two kids, two dogs, two cars in a garage? We don't need to get caught up in those things. We need to be content with what we have. Don't love the things of the world. Jesus warns his disciples back in John about things of the world. John 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, and it will, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when someone rejects you as a friend, or when somebody pushes you aside and they don't really want anything to do with you because of your faith. Never be surprised. Remember this, not everybody's going to like you anyway. And the fact you're a Christian means that more people aren't going to like you. Did you all know that one out of every four people you meet will not like you? Did you know that? When I found that, I'd have thought, what's not to like? Okay, guys, calm down. We're told that we will be hated. But you won't be hated unless you reflect the light of Christ. You won't be hated unless you walk in the Spirit, unless you demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And shouldn't those things be absolutely normal in the Christian life? Then let me ask you, why do I fail so often, or why do you fail so often? It's because I think that we're not really yielding to the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, maybe you are not like me. Maybe you don't have those struggles like I do. But I can tell you there are times when I am torn. And those are the times I'm not really depending on the Holy Spirit. I'm not being led by the Holy Spirit because I choose not to be. Jesus warned his disciples they'd be hated. He warned them that they would be persecuted. Look at Acts chapter 9. It says, but Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Saul, before his conversion, was persecuting Christians and persecuting them in the name of God. He thought he was doing the right thing. We are going to be persecuted for our faith. You've been persecuted yet? Not in this country. Not in a major way. I mean, some people have maybe made fun of us. But there are places in this world where you die for being a Christian. There are places in this world where you better go underground if you're going to talk about Jesus. We have been blessed in this country so far, but I just believe this with all my heart. We are under the judgment of God. And unless something happens in this country to turn our hearts back toward God, then we will find ourselves persecuted for our faith. We will find ourselves thrown into jail because of our faith. Y'all believe that? If you don't, wake up, because it's coming. The only thing that can stop that or turn that around is if the church begins to act like the church. What were the hymns today? Pentecostal power. We need that same power that fell on at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit coming down. We need that same power to fall on us, to fall on the church. The other hymn was, revive us again. Get up and do it. The only way that we will ever be revived is by submitting to the leadership and control of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit living in and through us. God indwelling us. Chapter 2 and verse 16 of John says, they will put you out of the synagogues. They will push you out. By the way, that's talking about the Jews there, right? Do you suppose there might be churches someday that will push believers out? Do you believe that? I think it's coming. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. Acts chapter 7, Stephen, preaching a phenomenal sermon in the power of the Holy Spirit, is dragged away and stoned for what he just said. Stoned for what he believes. He was martyred. He was murdered. He was killed because of what he believed. One day that's coming. You know, to already talk about certain things like abortion or other things is considered hate speech. If the Bible is considered hate speech, then sign me up. Because we preach the Word of God. We preach Christ crucified and nothing else. It's not about opinion. It's not what's on CNN or Fox or MSNBC. It's what's in God's Word. And if it's in God's Word, we are faithful to preach and teach the Word of God. When he comes, he will convict the world, in verse 8 of 16, concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. The word convict means to pronounce the verdict, to be proved or found guilty, to convince of a fault, to make sin known. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin. When did we come to the realization that we were sinners in need of a Savior? It's when the Holy Spirit woke us up and showed us our need for Christ, that we need to be saved. Up until then, I didn't care anything about God, did you? Scripture says there's none righteous, no, not one. There is none who seeks after God. And every one of us, before we believed, were in that none pool. Every single one of us. But the Holy Spirit woke us up, convicted us of our sin, and showed us our need of a Savior. Cindy, I'm glad you're here today. Because the Holy Spirit acts like a prosecuting attorney. Cindy is one, by the Lord. Jerry's daughter. Brenda who? Oh, Brenda's daughter as well. All humanity stands before him as guilty because of sin. All humanity. The Holy Spirit's purpose is to bring salvation. He makes us aware of our primary sin, which is the sin of unbelief. It is unbelief, not believing who Jesus is and what he's done, that condemns us. John chapter 3. You know, every one of us in this room probably, or most of us, could quote John chapter 3, verse 16, couldn't we? Somebody? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but what? And sometimes we forget verses 17 and 18. Verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. What is it that brings condemnation upon us? It is not believing in who Jesus is and what he has done for us. We don't preach, or I don't preach very often, on the idea of hell, but trust me here. There is a hell. When I was first saved, when my college roommate told me about Jesus, he talked about heaven. And I always, since I was a little boy, believed in God. Always. I can't think of a time in my life I did not believe in God. I always believed that Jesus was born of a virgin. That's what the Bible says. That's what we sing about at Christmas, isn't it? I always believed that he lived a sinless life. I always believed he went to the cross and shed his blood for the sins of the world. I didn't put me in there, though. I always believed that he rose from the dead and one day he was coming back, but that doesn't make me, or that did not make me, a Christian. You can know all that stuff and still be lost. What makes us believers is our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It is realizing that we are sinners. It's confessing that sin. It's asking the Lord to become part of our life in a personal relationship. Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's purpose is to bring salvation, to let us know that salvation is available, to let us know that there is something other than heaven. And for those who do not trust Him, they will spend eternity in hell. You know, it doesn't matter what my opinion is about hell, doesn't matter what your opinion is about hell. It doesn't mean if you think it exists or it doesn't. The Bible says it does, and it does. Hell is every bit as real as heaven. Jesus spoke more about hell than he did heaven. So if a Savior talked about hell, shouldn't we believe it? Just a thought. Convicts us of righteousness. It's talking about the righteousness of Christ. Look at John chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. You know, there's some things in Scripture that I think can be a little bit difficult to understand, especially if you don't study. Jesus referred to himself a lot as what? The Son of Man. Also, but very seldom he referred to himself as the Son of God, but others referred to him as the Son of God. The Holy Spirit reveals to us who Jesus really is. He is the Son of Man, talking about his humanity. He is the Son of God, talking about his deity. He is the God-man that in one person, a human and God exist. Do y'all know that? Isn't it imperative for us to know what we believe? How many times have I said that, Brenda? I'll call on you this time. A lot. One day, the man Jesus who gave his life for us, the God who died on the cross for us, one day he'll come back. Every once in a while I look at the news and I pray, even so, Lord Jesus, come. Even so. Convicts us of judgment. Judgment on all who refuse to believe. And we already talked about John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. But in John chapter, or rather, John chapter 16. Said in verse 8, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they don't believe. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father. You see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. You ever read the end of the book? Ever gotten to that book called Revelation? Got back in chapters 19 and 20 where it talks about the great white throne judgment and it talks about the lake of fire and one day Satan will be cast into the lake of fire. Satan loses. We win. That's what I know about the end of the book. I didn't hear him that time, Crystal. We win. You know, I don't know that I understand the entire book of Revelation. I don't. I've taught through that book 3 or 4 times. And there are things in there that are still mysteries to me. Maybe that's the way God intended. But I know that one day there is the great white throne judgment. And we will stand before him. And those whose names are not found in the Lamb's Book of Life are thrown into the lake of fire. Now we're getting to the sermon. The Holy Spirit guides us. John chapter 16. Verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Compare that with John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 26. Excuse me, it says, He is our teacher. He will teach you all things. The Bible tells us that He is the Spirit of truth. Wally, some time ago you did a sermon called What is Truth? Anyway, I didn't listen to all of it, so I can't repeat what you said. But I do know this. The Scripture says in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Everything needs to be interpreted in the light of who Jesus is. I am the truth. There is no other truth outside Jesus. You know, I'm tired of hearing, and every time you hear this, you ought to stand up and object. I am tired of people saying Buddha is a way to God, or Muhammad is a way to God, or Confucius is a way to God. I am tired of hearing that, and you ought to be tired of hearing that as well. And every time you hear that, you ought to stand up and repeat John 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. What happens? No one comes to the Father except through me. Is that narrow? Are those parameters narrow? Absolutely they are. But Jesus is God, and God sets the parameters. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. A.W. Pink, in his commentary on John, said, there are three classes of people who need to be guided. Those who are blind, those too weak to walk alone, and those journeying through an unknown country. And guys, that's where we are. Without the Holy Spirit, we will never understand the Scripture. Without the Holy Spirit, we are blind to the Word of God. Without the Holy Spirit, we're unable to walk the Christian life because we have no encouragement. We have no comfort. We have no strength. We've not been taught what we're expected to do. We are journeying through an unclear land, unknown land. Let me ask you a question. We've talked about before, we've talked about the difference between study and reading, haven't we? Study indicates that you have a piece of paper and a pencil in your hand, and that you are doing more than reading the Word of God. You are searching the Word of God. How many of you have a Bible with a concordance in the back? Y'all know what a concordance is? Somebody tell me, Wally, what's a concordance? That's where the Word appears. So if I'm going to do a word study, I can look at this word, I can go back to my concordance and see every time that word is used and do a study. Or I can look at the life of David and I can do a character study. There are a lot of different kinds of studies we can do, but we need to be doing something in studying the Bible. So let me ask you this. When we study, or prior to when we study, do we ask the Holy Spirit to guide us? Do we? Or do we just open it up and go? Do we ask the Holy Spirit to teach us? Because without the Holy Spirit, we can't understand the Bible. Listen again. Without the Holy Spirit of God, we cannot understand the Bible. The work of the Holy Spirit is not to draw attention to Himself. John chapter 15, verse 26, He will bear witness of me. John chapter 16, verse 14, Jesus says, He will glorify me. Take what is mine and declare it to you. He teaches us from the Word of God. Have you ever been reading the Bible? And maybe you've read a certain verse 20 times, 25 times, and reading it this time, the light just goes on. You ever read a verse like that? The Holy Spirit, that's called illumination. The Holy Spirit shows us that verse in a brand new way so that it can make a difference in our lives. The Holy Spirit enlightens us with God's truth. We don't study the Scripture, listen carefully, we don't study the Scripture to argue or to debate other people. I think one of the worst things that we can be called into is to debate religion. You can't debate somebody to the cross. As a matter of fact, how many books in the Bible? 66, 39, 27, right? When you tell somebody you believe the Bible, they will tell you that the Bible was just written by a bunch of men. My question for them is, if it's written by a bunch of men, how is it the same theme from Genesis 1 all the way through the end of Revelation? How is it the Bible contains the same theme? I will also, I might give them that argument. I might let that one pass. Do you know the best evidence of salvation, the best evidence of living a Christian life, is you. You. Allowing the Holy Spirit to live in and through us, to conform us into the image of Christ, to reflect the image of light, to be light and salt. That is the best testimony. We don't debate religion with others. We shouldn't. You know something else that in reading and studying the Word of God? We don't need to show off how much we know. We don't need to show off our knowledge of the Scripture. Because does it make a difference? Not really. What makes the difference is, do we know the author? Do we know the author? Now, some people know a great deal about Scripture. And I've had people say to me, well, I don't know what you do. And I say, how do you know that? How do you know that? God has given us minds. Maybe the reason we don't know Scripture is because we don't try. When's the last time you memorized one verse? Just one. When's the last time you meditated on one verse? Just one. The reason we don't know more about the Bible is because we don't spend enough time in the Bible. But it's not to show others how much we know. What it's to show is who we know and how much we know Him. We study the Bible to see Jesus. You want to see Jesus and what Jesus did? Read the Gospels. Walk through Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John with Jesus. Try to understand His heart. See how He ministered to others. And ask the Holy Spirit to give you that heart and that love and that compassion so that we can minister to others in the name of Jesus. We study the Scriptures to glorify Him, to worship Him. We study the Scriptures to know Him better. We study the Scriptures so that we know what He expects from us. And we study the Scriptures to know what He expects, and then we do what He expects. We live according to the knowledge we have. Our knowledge is worthless if we don't live it. Does that make sense to you? Wally, are they awake? Okay. The Spirit of Truth. One of the things we need to know is that the Bible was given to us by men who were led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't only teach us. The Holy Spirit has given God's Word to men to write for us so that we might spend time in the Word knowing that it's the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Isn't that correct? All Scripture is given is God-breathed. Do y'all believe that? In 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, holy men of old wrote as they were carried along, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. If God's Word is really God's Word, should it make a difference in our lives? It will make a difference when we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. When we allow the Holy Spirit to teach us the things of God. But the Holy Spirit will never be able to do that if He is not in you. If He's not in me. Is it possible to be saved and not growing in Christ? What did you say, Wally? Wrong. Can we have the Holy Spirit in us and be away from God? Absolutely we can. You might call that being backslidden. You might call that being any number of things. But I know in my own life, there have been times when I knew I was a Christian, but I wasn't walking as a Christian. Maybe the worst reminder ever of that in my life was when my wife said, "Tom, I thought you were a Christian." That's a wake-up call, isn't it? The Spirit of truth guides us into all the truth. Will you? You see, the theme of the year was staying on track. A couple weeks ago, we talked about being connected to the vine. We're talking today about being guided by the Holy Spirit. If we're going to stay on track this year, we need to be connected, don't we? We need to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Are you? When you get up in the morning, do you ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, to direct your lives? When you open your Bible, do you ask the Holy Spirit to guide you into all the truth? Are you willing to submit to whatever the Holy Spirit asks of you? Because that makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? If we're going to stay on track in 2019, then we better submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit. He's our guide. He will never guide us to a place we should not be. Again, I say to you this morning, just because you're here does not mean you're a believer. And so I would say to you, the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. The Holy Spirit God uses the Holy Spirit to draw us to Himself. When we're convicted of our sin, we are also shown our need for the Savior. The Holy Spirit works in and through others to show us, to declare to us, the gospel of Jesus Christ. My college roommate, the guy that I partied with the first couple years I was in college, is the one who showed me, who told me the gospel. I'm grateful. Because it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done, Jesus stands ready to forgive. If you confess your sins, what the Bible say? He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to do what? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is the blood of Christ. The blood that He shed at the cross, not just to cover your sins, but to wash them completely away. And so it's through faith in Christ. For by grace are you saved through what? Through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Those who believe, John 3:16 says, whoever believes will have eternal life. So my question for all of us this morning is, do you believe? Do you believe? And I promise you that when you place your faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit will come indwell you. God living Himself in you. What a promise that is. Pray with me. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for the Holy Spirit